I'm glad I'm saved today. I was asking God for a blessing today, a special blessing. And to see this young man come in and say he was God saved here, that's a blessing. Amen. I mean that from on high. Can't ask for a better blessing than that. And I thank God for that. I got a friend of mine that's, well, he's a neighbor. I like him. He's a good man, rich man. And I got to talk to him yesterday, or day before yesterday. And I said, what do you think about the way the country's going? Oh, man, he said, it's Russia. Russia's causing us to, we're not going to have any groceries, and Russia's taking our gas. And he works for, he's a big guy in Hess Oil Company. And we was talking about, it's Russia's fault that we don't have any gas. And it's Russia's fault we don't have any bread. And then he said, and then the COVID and everything else is, it just got, I said, you're about as dumb as dirt. You know? I mean, here we are sitting on oil. We got more blessing than God has been on the face of the earth. God has blessed this country. Now, this is Independence Day. We're supposed to be celebrating that we're liberated. You know what that means? We're set free. And you know, I talk to people all the time about, I'm glad I'm free. I'm not saved, and I'm not under Christ, and I'm not under God. I'm just out doing as I please. No, you're in bondage. You're in bondage of sin. Sin rules and reigns for those that's out from under Christ. Did you know that when you get saved by God's grace, you're set free from sin? I do as I please now. Only thing is that my owner is changed. I've been changed by the grace of God, but I've been set free. The devil can't have me. I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven by God's grace. I've been set free. And listen to somebody talk like this guy was talking about. Did you know what it makes us when we depend on Russia? And when we depend on the Ukraine? And when we depend on China? We're in bondage to them. And honest to goodness, folks, I don't understand our government except that God's in control. And I know this. That's what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you about that everybody is, we was under, like he was saying, this COVID thing. And by the way, we need to pray for the Booth family. They went to a family reunion and 20 of them has got the COVID now because somebody came there and passed it on and got it. But I also learned something else. I've been to the hospital all the time. Every time somebody dies in the hospital, they say it's a COVID. No, it's not. A lot of people die in the hospital that had COVID ain't a thing to do with it. And what they want to pass on to you, that we're under this thing, a curse in this country of a COVID, a disease. But I believe this, and I believe it since the day it started. It's like the flu. Everybody's going to get it sooner or later. And they won't tell you the truth about it, how many is dying from it. A lot of people are getting it, but they're getting over it. And they're going right on with their life, amen? And somebody said, preacher, aren't you worried about the visits that you make and the things you do? You go and be with people all the time. If you don't watch out today, I'll hug your neck. I love you in the Lord, amen? And I'm not going to worry about that because of this reason. I'm under the everlasting arms of God. That's what I want to share with you today. I want you to listen very carefully as I read to you. In Exodus, or Deuteronomy, I'm sorry, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33, I'm going to begin to read verse 26. There's none like unto the God of Jerusalem, who rideth upon the heaven in thy head, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. Turn with me now back to Exodus for just a minute. And the book of Exodus, and find it, Exodus chapter 6, please. And I'll begin to read verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with stretched out arm and with great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will bring you in unto the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, and to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Pray with me, please. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'll be with each one of us today here. And I do pray, as our brother prayed a minute ago, Lord, if there's somebody here today that's not saved, that they will, or somebody listening, that they'll understand that Jesus is the Savior. Bless us, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy 33, verse 27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Now, believers are called upon to endure times of testing and difficulties that require supernatural enabling from God. The Word has many great and precious promises for those who look to their Lord in their distress. Listen to this. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Now, this is primarily speaking to Israel, we know that, but it's just as true to all of God's people of all ages. The arm is a symbol of power, and God's arms never grow tired or feeble. There's seven things about these everlasting arms I want you to see today. Number one, his arms are redeeming arms. And turn over now to Exodus with me for just a minute, chapter 6 again. And I want you to watch beginning in verse 6. Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burden of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of the bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm with great judgment. Now, the redemption was by blood, and the arm was the instrument to put into effect the purposes of God's sovereign grace. I still believe God's in control, and I believe he'll always be in control. I got real upset when I believe the election was stolen, and I don't care what everybody else believes. I'll just tell you what I believe, all right? I believe Trump's our president, and I don't know how this other guy got in there. But everybody said, oh, it was stolen from us. Now, whether you like this or not, I still believe God's in control. And the one that God wanted in there for this time is in there. Now, for what purpose is being shown now? And you know what the purpose is, I believe? God wants God's people in this country to get back on their knees where they ought to be and come to God where they ought to be. And he's using these elements around us to wake us up to see that not to depend on the government, and not depend on our money that we got in our bank, and not depend on our health and everything else. We're to depend on God to take care of us. Amen? Now, it's very scary as a human being and a natural thing to go down to a gas station and realize that it takes $100 to fill up your car. It's a scary thing to see that. And here's a guy getting up and say, well, I want everybody in America to do is ride a bicycle. I'd like to see you fly in a bicycle. You're going to do some hard pedaling. Amen? And I look at all these crazy things being said, and I see them, and I say, that's frightening. That's frightening to me to see what it's going to, what that's coming to. I go in the grocery store, and it seemed like to me that everything that I like, they're going to take it off the shelf. I went to one of the managers of Publix one time. I said, I want to talk to the manager. And he came out and he said, what can I help you with? I said, why? How come y'all don't buy this bread here? He said, because it sells out. That means you need more of it, stupid. I mean, of all the breads that they are on the shelves, this one that I like, going to sell out of. You got all these shelves full of the rest of it. You buy the one that people sell it. Amen? But I went to the store the other day and I looked on the shelves of the store and I looked, man, it's frightening. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that's just not on the shelves now. And it's frightening. And when I realized, I think a lot of people that think that the beef comes from Publix. They don't realize it comes from a farmer out yonder that has to drive a tractor that's run off of diesel fuel to grow the grass, to get the cow, to get to the market. And there's somebody out there got to cut that beef up. There's somebody got to wrap it. There's somebody got to get to you to get it to your plate. They think that a chicken's made down there in Publix. No, it's not. It's made out yonder in the field. It's made out there. Somebody's got to do it. Amen? And we got a government that's paying people to stay home. I laughed at Biden the other day. He said, I have furnished more jobs in the United States than any president that's ever been. I said, you dummy, you took all the jobs away. You furnished them all right by taking them all away and paying everybody to stay home. Now listen to me. The Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat.
Amen.
Amen? That's the Bible. That's God's word. You know what that means? You need to work. I used to get down. My daddy was a masonry contractor. And I grew up and learned to lay blocks and lay blocks from my daddy. And I'd get down, I'd get my back out. And by the way, we need to pray for Ms. Taylor. She's going in Tuesday. Tuesday. I didn't say what week. I just said Tuesday. She's going in and out for a back operation. And we need to pray for her that everything go right. But I used to get down in my back so bad that I couldn't even get up. And my daddy said, come on, boy. Get up from there and let's go. Let's go. And I'd literally lay block with my knees, my elbows on my knees and keep on going. And the record would be feeling good. I get fine, go on. My daddy didn't allow us to lay around and do nothing. You worked. And you know what, folks? I look back on it. I didn't then, but I look back on it. Thank you, Daddy, for teaching me to work. Amen? Now, let me show you something. What I'm trying to show you is, I'm glad I got a Publix grocery store. Now, I'm not advertising for Publix. That's just mine. Okay, if you want to go to Winn-Dixie's, be stupid enough going down there. But what I'm trying to show you, that what I am, I'm glad I got a Publix market that I could go down to and pick out my groceries on the shelf and go home and cook me a good meal and have a good meal in my house. But folks, I don't depend on Publix. I don't depend on somebody getting it for me. You know who I depend on? Every time I sit down to eat, I don't care if it's a hot dog. I don't care what it is. I bow my head to God. And I said, thank you, Lord. And I said, thank you, Lord, for providing my food for me. You know what that includes? That includes that I am, thank God, I'm in a free country. That the government ain't taking the things away from the farmers and taking the things away that they can still farm. And we got farmers out there. We got people that's raising the crops and raising the animals and raising the food for us. I thank God all the way down the chain. God's behind it. Amen? Do you ever think about it? If it wasn't for the rain, we wouldn't have any grass. If it wasn't for the rain and the Bible talked about the seasons, we wouldn't have the food to feed the cows that come to us and the hogs and everything else that we eat. We wouldn't have any of that. Only by God's grace do we have anything. And so when we get thankful, say, thank God I'm living in a free country that we have people that's doing. And here's the thing about it. I'm glad that I was brought up and taught to be successful in this world. You know what that means? I can be what I want to be in this country because there's no limits to us. We don't have a government that says, now you can only make $100,000 or you can only make $100 a week and the rest of it you're going to have to give it to the government or you're going to have to give it in taxes, you're going to have to give it to somebody. We arranged in this country that, thank God I'm free, I can make what I want. I can be as successful as I want to be. If you want to lay down and street summers and be nothing, you can do that. But you can also be successful if you work to be successful. Because we live in a free place to do so. I thank God for that. I thank God that I'm under His arm. And He's taking care of me. Now, what I want you to see though, the most important thing is that we are under His redeeming arms. Exodus 12 verse 13 says, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. It will not be upon you. Now watch this. God did not say, when you see the blood. Did you notice that verse? The blood shall be upon you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. God said, when I see the blood. That's what makes a difference. Did He say, when I see your good feelings? Did He say, when I see your repentance? Did He say, when I see your baptism? Your efforts? No. He said, when I see the blood. And the blood represented of those little sheep that they slaughtered that day and put on the board post of that, that represented the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world. The young as well as the old that was behind those doors, where the blood was applied, was safe in the arms of God. It's a saving arm. Psalm 44 verse 3. They got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arms save them. But thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst a favor unto them. Isaiah 51 verse 5. I read this to my friend that passed away the other day. He said, preacher, would you read me some psalm in some of the Bible? I read this to him. My righteousness is near. My salvation is gone forth. And mine arms shall judge the people. The isles shall wait on me. And on my arm shall they trust. Jonah chapter 2 verse 9. Salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Now I'm glad that God called me to preach. I'm glad that I can tell people how to be saved by God's word. And I can assure you that by God's word, if you do what God says to you out of this book, you can go to heaven. Now, I can do that for you. I can take God's word and show that to you. But I can't save you. I can't say, I'm going to forgive your sins. I was in a hospital where a Catholic priest come in the room next door across the hall from me, and he put on his little thing around his neck and got his little ribbon and all the things, and he said, and I remiss you of your sins. And I thought to myself, you liar, you imposter, a sinner can't save a sinner. Amen. You think about that for just a minute. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can save a sinner. And I've had people to tell me before, you're the one that saved me. And I'm always very careful. And I know what they meant. But at the same time, I want to be very careful. I can't save nobody. Only the Lord Jesus Christ and His mighty arms can save anybody that is coming to Him. We are to turn our eyes off of self and upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The storm is over. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 1 Peter 2:24, his own self bore our sins in his own body on a tree. Only the arms of God can save a soul. God's arm is a strong arm. Psalms 89, verse 13, thou hast a mighty arm, strong in thy hand, and high is thy right hand. The question was asked of Job in Job 40, verse 9. Hast thou an arm like God? No. Folks, God is in control, is what I'm trying to say. God directs all the events of the believer's life. I read a psalm one day, I was reading behind David, and David said, God directs my steps. Every step I take, he directs his steps. Think about that for just a minute. You know how many times, I can't even remember how many times I've almost died. I've almost drowned 3 times. I can't swim maybe from here to that door if I hurry, dog pedaling. But I love to water ski. And when you get me up on water skis, I ain't falling. Because I know I can't swim. I never will forget, though, that my wife, her boyfriend, before she met me or whatever, he'd come out to the lake to go skiing with us, and she was pulling me and him behind the boat, and I'm a show elf, you know, on slalom, flopping over one side, and I fell. Of course, he's on 2 skis. He skied on back. She carried him to shore, and I had a belt around one, a little belt, not even a good life jacket, and I'm flying, trying my best to stay alive, and she comes back out in the boat, get in. You didn't care nothing about me. You carried him. Go on back to shore. She said, okie dokie. She went on back to shore and left me. About an hour later, I come dog peddling in. But I've near about drowned. I don't know how many times. I've been shot at. I fell out of a tree. Hit every limb in that tree. And I've thought about this a many times. I stepped right in running one time through the woods, stepped right in a coil of a diamondback rattlesnake, and never even bothered him. Just kept on running. I looked back and it scared me to death. And the things that I've been through, we've been in 2 or 3 wrecks, and just all kind of things. And I think about it, God's hand, God's arm, everywhere I've been. Every step I've took, God's been right there to hold me up. And he's took care of me. And he said, as many as my Father gives me, I've lost none. You know, he's better than that lawyer be on TV years ago. Amen. Forgot his name. Never lost a case. Who's that? Perry Mason. He's better than him. Amen. He never lost a case. You think about it. You hear these people say, I was once saved, but I lost my salvation. You poor thing. You don't have my God. My God's never lost a case. He's still... Anybody that ever got truly saved by God's grace is still saved right now. Amen. You know why? He got strong. I like the little boy come up to me while I go over here. I like that. He come over here and said, I've been exercising. Little runt. I mean, he'd been exercising. I said, let me see that. I said, man, what a muscle. Yeah, that's right. Amen. I love that. Amen. He thinks he's strong. Every time I think about it, I've been in a lot of situations that I could have died. I could have been forsaken. And God somehow or another reached down and lifted me up. And held me in his arms. And I'm still safe. That's the reason that everybody comes to me. Aren't you afraid of what's going on in our country right now, preacher? Nah. God's in control. And by the way, if you're a child of God, he'll see you through it. You'll come through it. You'll come out on the other side. You'll be fine. You might not get everything you want right now. But you'll come through it. God's still in control. His arms are still strong enough to take care of you. God's arm is a scattering arm. Psalms 89 verse 10. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. You know what I think about every time I read that? We bought a place over in Lake Wales, and we got a little thing you go across, and it's a canal on both sides, and then there's a lake, and it's split right in half. We got half of it, and another guy on the other side, his name was Barry, and I never will forget, they called him Burly Barry. And the first thing he did when I built my house over, he built a 6-foot chain link fence right down the middle and put a barbed wire on top of it, and he didn't want me over there. And I went over and I hollered across the fence, "How you doing, Barry?" Went in the house. Every time I see him out in the yard, I'd say, "How you doing, buddy?" And he'd go. He wouldn't speak to me. And one time a big hickory nut tree, a hurricane laid it right on top of his house. And two more little hickory nut trees holding up, they're like God's hands, honestly, holding that big old hickory nut tree off of his house. And he come to the fence one day, his wife did. "You got to get your tree off of my fence, off of my house." And I said, "Well, I'll do the best I can." So I called a tree guy, took one from here, big old boy. I mean, he's a strong rascal. I carried him over there and said, "Can you get that tree off of this for me?" And he said, "Well, I need to go over there and talk to that guy." And I hollered, and she can't, his wife come out, "Burley, I don't want to talk to you. You can't come in this yard, but you got to get that tree out of here." That old boy looked at me and he said, "I'll go over and whip it." And I said, "No, you won't. Now get back in the car. I'll take you home." I took him home and I called the sheriff's department. Sheriff's department come out there, and he said, "Now, preacher, you listen to me. You don't go over there on his property without written permission, because he can sue you. He'll take everything you got if you do." And I said, "Well, I don't know how to do this thing." He said, "Let me tell you something. All that's on his side of that fence is his. All that's on your side of the fence is yours. You ain't got nothing but a stump. He got the whole tree. Tell him to get it off his own." I said, "I don't want to do that now. I'm a Christian. I want to do what's right." So I was headed home, and the guy that helped me set these trusses with his crane on the crane shop out here on Highway 60. I pulled in there. I was talking to one of the mechanics out there, and he heard me. "What do you want, preacher? What do I do for you?" I told him his situation. He told me, "Get in that big old crane there. That man, big thing." He said, "Go on over and get that tree out for that man's yard for him." Now, I like that big old crane went up on top of that hill, reached over that fence, and I climbed up that tree, hooked that big old chain around that. He lifted that tree up and set it right down on my side of the property, just as pretty. And I cut it up and took it off. But all the time that I was working on for 3 days, that man and woman would go in and out of that house, never say a word to us, never say a boom. And that thing fixing to fall on his house and crush it the whole time. But God sent that man along to get that tree off his house. And then I swept it up, not an acorn left, nothing on. He's never said thank you, nothing. And that kind of man. Now let me show you something. I could have raised sin. I could have done everything in the world to that guy. But you know what happened? He's gone. He's gone. He sold that piece of property to some of the nicest neighbors you could ever want. And they watched after us. We'd pull in our place over there, and here they come running over there. "How y'all doing?" And they're just the sweetest neighbors. What I'm trying to say to you, listen to this again. Psalms 89 verse 10. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. You got somebody bothering you? You got some incident that's going on in your life now that is bothering you? God can move it. God can get it right out of your life for you. He can take care of it. Numbers 10 verse 35. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, "Rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee." Here it is. You ever had somebody giving you a hard time in your life? The young lady that comes, I can't never think her name, works down in Publix. She said to me here about a while back, she said, "Preacher, pray for me. I got a bully that's bullying me down there, and she's trying to get me fired, and I have done nothing to her." I said, "Let's pray right now." I said, "Now, Lord, you can take care of this thing. You can either move her or soften her heart, whatever you see fit." She come back next Sunday. She said, "You ain't going to believe this." And she told me what happened. And the manager of the store got the other lady and took care of her and give her a raise. And she said, "I can't believe it, preacher." I said, "I can. God can move people out of your life." And you say, "I'll take it." No, no. If you take care of it, you'll get in trouble. Did you know what the book of Romans says? The book of Romans says, "Pray for thine enemies." And God will heap coals of fire on their head. Think about that for just a minute. Now, I've been bullied at school. I've been bullied by people. And I pray and say, "God, you take care of it." And every time, He's done it. Now, I believe that God's arms are stronger than man's arms. But I believe this too. God's arms are a gathering arms. Jeremiah 31, verse 10. "Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, He that scattereth Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doeth his flock." Matthew 24, verse 21. "He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the earth, heaven to the other." John 10, verse 16. "There shall be one fold and one shepherd." John 10, verse 3. "He calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." I want to say to you today, if I can, please, I want you to get this. Every soul that has been saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, God has lost none under His arm. They're strong enough to keep you today, saved, and to carry you to heaven. Jew or Gentile, I don't care what you are. If you're saved by the grace of God, He'll keep you saved. Amen? And He'll take care of you. And He'll watch you. He'll gather you back. Years ago, there's a preacher friend of mine, and he got out of the will of God. He got out of preaching. I saw him one day, and he had a long beard. Just looks horrible. I said, "What are you doing now?" He said, "I'm driving a city bus." And I said, "Well, what happened?" He said, "Preacher," he said, I don't even know if I believe there is a God anymore." And I said, "Oh my." He said, "I don't even know if I believe the Bible's the word of God anymore." He said, "The things that people's done to me and things that happened to me and my wife," he said, "I just don't know." He said, "I got a library. I'd like to sell my library for $600. And he had a beautiful library, a gospel library. And I said, "No, I'll give you the $600 because I want you to keep your library, because if you're truly saved, God's going to bring you back. God will get you back. He ain't lost any." Guess what he's doing today? He's preaching. He got saved. He got straightened out with the Lord. And realized that he was the problem, not God, nor his circumstance. He was the problem. He had lifted himself up. He got a church. That church had started supporting him real good. And he got a new car and got one house. And the church was paying for that. So then he got another house on a campground, and he wanted the church to pay for that, and on and on and on. He wanted the church and God's people to do for everything, and God's got a way of getting you on your back. Amen? Getting you right back down where you started from. And God did put him there to get him to look up. And you better take this as a warning. When you get so high-minded that God scatters you, and you're out there on your own, I don't want to be there. Amen? I'd rather have a little handful and God on my side, then I had to have all the money in the world. And I mean that. Because I know something. God will reach out directly and gather you back. Amen. I've seen it over and over again. So if you're out on the edge, right on the edge of going out or coming back, you better turn around. God's still there. He ain't left you. Amen. Stand, Mary, please. Father, we thank you so much for your mighty arms. I remember my old daddy's arms and hands, how strong he was in the grip, and how he could grab you, and you couldn't get loose as a little boy. I remember that. And Lord, I think about that a lot. I got a great God that when he grabs you, you ain't getting away. And he blesses us on every hand, guards us. And when we're going through hard times, dear God, I pray that you'll help us be reminded you're still in control. Your hands are still mighty. Nothing can make you weak. And I pray if somebody here today that thinks, or listening today that thinks in their mind that they're such a sinner that cannot be saved, they've gone beyond the grace of God, help them to understand no such thing. God's grace is sufficient. Bless us today, we pray now. We invite everybody to come to God in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing something, please.
Turn to page 40, please. Page 40.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Yeah, I tell you every once in a while all I got for dinner. Last night I thought I'd be smart. My daughter got me these. My granddaughter, anyhow, one of my kids, got us these boxes of food. You seen them? That you have to cook yourself? I mean, they get you carrots and everything goes with it, and the meat and everything, and then you fix it yourself, you know? So last night I got this meatball thing, and I made my own meatballs, and I got all the stuff, and I made the stuff and stirred it up, and I mean, that was the best. And I was eating. I said, "Well, they got that same stuff right down there, Sam's, in a bag."